This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening today. If you wonder if the U.S. Senate has the ability to handle the biggest story in America, ask yourself if you think it can handle two. The debate to repeal Obamacare has finally reached the Senate floor, and the deepening Russia investigation grinds on in the committee rooms and the secure locations in the Capitol. We're going to talk healthcare in just a minute, but when it comes to Russia, the focus now has shifted to the president's aides, including former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. Manafort refused to testify in public yesterday. So on Monday, the Senate Judiciary Committee issued a subpoena to compel him. Manafort's lawyers cut a deal, and now he'll testify in private at some later date. Paul Manafort, though, spent 5 months as Donald Trump's campaign manager and chairman in 2016. His exit from the campaign coincided with revelations of millions of dollars in undisclosed payments that Manafort received working for pro-Russian political causes in Ukraine. The administration now underplays the role that Paul Manafort had in that campaign, but that doesn't mean that special counsel Robert Mueller and congressional committees aren't interested. Manafort's many business dealings, his failure to file foreign lobbying disclosures, and possible cooperation or collusion with Russia are all on the table as investigators examine his actions. Chad Day is a reporter on the Washington investigative team for the Associated Press. Chad, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a little bit of news, because there's been a lot of it. Paul Manafort, as I mentioned, caught a subpoena from the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was going to be compelled to testify today. Now it appears he struck a deal to get out of it. What do we know?
So what we know about this is that last night, the Judiciary Committee rescinded a subpoena that they'd issued for him to appear today. He was going to testify during this public hearing. And what they did is they reached an agreement that he had agreed to turn over some documents to them that they had requested, and also to continue negotiating a possible private interview with the committee, much like he had yesterday with the Senate Intelligence Committee, in which he discussed a Trump Tower meeting from June 2016 that has been attracted a lot of attention because it was with a Russian lawyer who was, at the time, selling this meeting as part of a Russian government effort to aid the Trump campaign.
Right. So that meeting appears to be just one narrow window into a much broader set of investigative targets that the special counsel Robert Mueller and his team are looking at. Let's get into some of the broader story. Do we know specifically what Bob Mueller is looking at when it comes to Paul Manafort?
So we know a little bit about it so far. And, you know, details are still coming out as more and more reporting goes on, and also as the investigation continues. But what we do know is that there was a longstanding FBI investigation into kleptocracy in Ukraine. And this investigation was looking at the former president, Viktor Yanukovych, and his political party, the Party of Regions, which was the ruling party for quite a while. Now, Paul Manafort worked for Viktor Yanukovych as a political consultant for a long time, starting in the mid-2000s on up until 2014. And so we know that he's actually been one of the subjects that they've been interested in looking at as part of this investigation, because they're trying to track the money. You know, Paul Manafort hasn't been accused of any crimes or anything at this point, but what the investigators are looking for is to see, you know, if this money that they believe was siphoned off from the Ukrainian government coffers to kind of line the pockets of Party of Regions officials, whether any of that actually made it into Paul Manafort's pockets or his companies here, and whether he knew about that. Now, again, I should say that there's no evidence at this point that you know, he was involved in any kind of crimes, but we do know that they are looking very closely at him as part of that investigation. And why that's important in context of Mueller is that we do know, and we reported last month, that Mueller has incorporated that investigation into his broader probe into Russian interference in the election and any possible collusion between Trump associates.
Now, that money has also brought attention to real estate deals that Paul Manafort has been involved in.
That's correct. And so, you know, I'm going to bounce back and forth between some reporting that other people have done. The New York Times has done a really good job with this. Bloomberg has recently done a good job with this. But that's right. So anytime that you're trying to track money that you believe was coming from a foreign government, particularly these kleptocracy investigations, they're trying to trace money that most of the times is funneled through shell companies and then cleaned in some way. And so, you know, if you're looking at potential money laundering, you're always going to look at how that money may have been turned into property. Now, what we do know is that there's some federal investigations, particularly in New York right now, that have been looking into some property purchases that Mr. Manafort made over the years, and also some loans that are connected with those properties. Now, again, you know, we don't know the whole picture here of what they're looking at, whether they may have looked at this and discarded this, because we're kind of, you know, again, this is an ongoing active federal investigation. But we do know that those property purchases and various different money transactions that he's had over the years are under heavy scrutiny from federal agents.
Now, Chad Day, in this complicated web, and it is starting to look like a complicated web, there's also the question of Cyprus. Banks in Cyprus, how they're connected to this very money that you're describing, and whether Paul Manafort himself owed money to Russians when all of this was going on.
That's right. And so what we know is that federal investigators requested banking information related to Paul Manafort from Cyprus and Cypriot authorities. And in particular, what they're looking at is whether some companies that are there, Cyprus is a well-known place for very wealthy Russians to set up shell companies, set up bank accounts. They do a lot of international banking through that island. And what they're looking for here is money that may have been routed through different types of shell companies or companies that were set up there, and then maybe through other companies that eventually would have went to Paul Manafort. What we do know is that recently there's been some paperwork that was filed in Cyprus that showed that Paul Manafort was in debt to some companies connected to some very wealthy Russians. In particular, one was a man named Oleg Deripaska, who is a very wealthy Russian who has been indicated in cables that were released by WikiLeaks as being very close to Vladimir Putin. Now, why this is important is that we know that Paul Manafort had worked with Deripaska during the mid-2000s. I mean, in particular, early on in that relationship, Paul Manafort had drafted a memo and pitched, Mr. Deripaska on this plan that he described, very elaborate political plan in some Eastern European countries that he described as a plan to greatly benefit the Putin government. There was a $10 million contract that was drafted and connected with this, although I should note, we don't know how much of that work was ever carried out. What we do know that has come up in court filings is that, unrelatedly, Mr. Manafort did work for Mr. Deripaska that was private equity work, particularly related to the purchasing of this cable and telecoms company in Ukraine. As part of that, Deripaska filed a lawsuit or some court filings where he said that, he had paid a lot of money to Paul Manafort, upwards of $19 million, and he didn't know where that money had went. And so the New York Times had recently reported that a portion of some of this indebtedness that is happening in Cyprus is related to money that is owed from Paul Manafort to Deripaska. Now, Manafort responded to the Times by saying, these are old filings. And so we don't exactly know the status of that debt at this point. But what we do know is that, Paul Manafort has had relationships with people and business relationships with them that were either wealthy Russians, people close to Putin, or Ukrainians who were also pro-Russian interests.
So, Chad Day, we've been talking a lot about money, and it's key in these investigations. Let's talk a little bit about politics and Paul Manafort's involvement in it. Here's Paul Manafort talking to CNN back in May of 2016 about just what he was doing when he was working in Ukraine.
As far as the Yanukovych administration is concerned, you will see, if you do any fact-checking, that I was the person that negotiated the framework, which is the base upon which Ukraine is now a part of Europe. That was my role. That's what I did. And when it was completed, I left.
That's Paul Manafort on CNN last year, Chad Day. Now, Paul Manafort has a long career in politics. He didn't come out of nowhere, that's for sure. But Ann Applebaum of The Washington Post has been on this program. She spent a lot of years in Eastern Europe covering and watching politics there. She said that when she started to see certain campaign tactics here in the U.S. in 2016, things like fake news, propaganda, rallies laced with references to violence or intimidating reporters, stuff like that, that she spotted it right away. She said this was Ukrainian-style campaigning, and she knew that it was Manafort.
So, what we know right now is that Paul Manafort, whenever he was working in Ukraine, he has kind of talked about this or portrayed his work as being trying to bring the Ukrainian government closer to Europe. But what we also know is that he was very close to Yanukovych, and you're right about the political tactics that occur in that region of the world. Now, whether or not, you know, Paul Manafort specifically tried to take those tactics and implement them with the Trump campaign, we don't know that at this point. And so, you know, I kind of caution people, because one thing that's kind of stuck out to me, you know, over the several months that this investigation's been going on, is that Paul Manafort seems very comfortable with talking about the 2016 campaign whenever he's talking about it in terms of these investigations. And the reason I say that is that early on, he volunteered to talk with the Senate Intelligence Committee and said, I will talk about what happened during the 2016 election. He's turned over documents to them. He disclosed this Trump Tower meeting with a Russian lawyer. And then later, obviously, just this week, was willing to discuss with Senate investigators, you know, this narrow frame of this meeting, but also agree to additional conversations, private conversations with committee staff about the campaign. And so, you know, at this point, we still don't exactly know how involved Paul Manafort was in directing the overall strategy of the Trump campaign, although it is, you know, something that obviously investigators would look at, given his background of being a longtime kind of political gun for hire in Ukraine, and also going back into the 1980s, where, you know, he was a Washington lobbyist who represented several foreign governments, some of which were you know, accused of human rights abuses, and kind of earned, you know, him being included in this kind of infamous report that was put out by the Center for Public Integrity, known as the Torturers Lobby. And so Manafort has been involved in political campaigns for a long time. He's been involved in political influence for a long time. And so if I'm an investigator that's looking at this from Mueller's perspective, of course, I'm going to put him on my radar of saying, you know, I'm looking at these tactics, and is this something that he may have been involved in? But we, at this point, we don't exactly know that.
So, Chad Day, before we let you go, Robert Mueller's investigation continues. The investigations on Capitol Hill continue. What part of Paul Manafort's background or actions do you think worry him or his lawyers the most?
I think that right now, whenever you're under an active federal investigation like he is, as part of this kind of kleptocracy investigation, obviously that's going to be at the top of the list, I would say. But, you know, his past work is where there's been some other legal trouble. He recently had to retroactively file with the Justice Department as a foreign agent for parts of his Ukrainian work, and reported about $17 million worth of political work that he did. A lot of it in Ukraine, but some of it bleeding over into Washington, where it kind of got him into trouble. So I would say that, you know, when the Justice Department starts looking at you, they're going to dig in. And if there's something there to find, then, you know, you have something to be worried about. I would say that Paul Manafort has said that all of his Ukrainian work was above board, that it was entirely appropriate. But I would say, you know, anytime that you have an active federal investigation, you know, your lawyers are going to take that very seriously.
Chad Day, reporter on the Washington investigative team for the AP. Chad, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity, with a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving, training programs that draw from 50 brain games, and tools to compare scores with global averages. Learn more at Lumosity.com. By the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, and the state committed to acting quickly and decisively on corporate interests. Learn more about how Arkansas works for businesses at ArkansasEDC.com.